It's a blessing to be with you all again today. Many people charge God foolishly for what Satan does. Job did not at that particular time in his journey. I've got a subject that I have been thinking about for a while. The past several weeks I've been speaking about spiritual perception, being able to see spiritual things in our natural world. And this led me to think about why some people don't perceive that God is God. Atheism abounds in this world. And then I thought about going back and reading John again and starting, because John said some pretty tough stuff to some of those Pharisees, Sadducees. And then I thought I didn't go back far enough. So I want to start out at the beginning. You know, God created the heavens and the earth. Before there was a man. And then He created man and woman and placed them in the garden. And Adam sinned. And when he sinned, he was cursed and he fell all the way. And there's a lot to be said that I'm skipping over about Adam. But by Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. It was the law of sin and death. Then Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she bore a son, and his name was Cain. And she was happy about it. She said, "I've gotten a man child from the Lord." Then she bore another son, and his name was Abel. And in the due process of time, the Bible says, they both brought offerings to the Lord. Sacrifices that they both brought to the Lord. Cain brought a sacrifice of the field, the first fruits. Or the fruit of the field. And Abel brought a firstling of his flock. And they offered both of them offered their sacrifices to God. Cain did, as well as Abel. And God had not respect neither to Cain nor his offering. But unto Abel and his offering He had respect. Now, when God did not accept Cain nor his offering, what happened to Cain? Or how did he react? Bible says his countenance fell and he was wroth. That meant that he got hotly mad and hotly angry, yea, furious. He got furious with God because he didn't accept himself or his offering. And maybe he was a little furious that he did accept his brothers and his brother himself. That was how Cain responded. His countenance fell. It would be like when he expected something that was not realized. Now, God, the Lord, spoke to Cain. Y'all hear what I'm saying? The Lord spoke to Cain. Cain responded to the Lord. God asked him a question. Said, why is thy countenance fallen? And why are you wroth? Why are you so furious at me? Why are you so mad? And God told him, this is in Genesis 4 and 7, if thou doest well, y'all chop this up with me. If thou doest well. He didn't say when. He said if thou doest well. Shalt thou not be accepted? Did God accept him? No, he didn't. Why? Because he didn't do well. And if thou doest not well, which is what he did, sin lieth at the door. And thou, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. That's talking about Abel. This is not talking about Cain ruling over sin. This is talking about Cain being the firstborn and having the birthright. Y'all get this picture. God accepted the younger. He didn't accept the elder, right? And so Cain was mad at God because he didn't accept him nor his offering. But he did accept his younger brothers. And God says, basically, he says his desire, talking about Abel's desire, is still going to be unto thee. It means he's still going to love you, even though, and regardless of the fact that I didn't take your offering. He's still going to love you like a brother can love. And you're not going to lose your birthright over it. This is very important. Y'all follow me, because this has a lot of implications later on down the road. There are some things that we can deduce from this that have far-reaching implications for us to understand God's Word when Jesus comes, and even before then. It'll help us understand some of those hard scriptures in John, some of the hard scriptures in Romans, some of the hard scriptures in a lot of the scriptures are difficult to rightly divide. This will help us rightly divide some things. What's going on here? Some of the points of what's going on here. Number one, Cain, as a wicked man. We know he was. John calls him the wicked one. That wicked one, Cain. I mean, I'm not willing to put him in the sheep side. Are you? I'm not willing to put Cain in God's land or being a disobedient child of God. Cain is of the wicked one. Now, Cain, as a wicked man, recognized that God was the creator and worthy of offering sacrifices to. Can you believe that? I hope you can, because the Bible says it. So what is that? Where does that leave us? Today, we think that wicked people are these horrible people that nobody wants to be around. But I'm telling you that even the wicked have an obligation to recognize that God is the Creator. And they have no excuse, Romans tells us. They're without excuse because the heavens declare His majesty and His glory. They're without excuse. Nature is all around. You can't look at a tree and say that a big bang caused it. You can't look at the sun and the moon that come up every day and the rotation of the earth and say that it's random. God is the creator. And yes, even the wicked are still obligated to recognize God as their as the creator. Now, the Lord talked with Cain. You think about this. Let me tell you where I'm at. My question, I got a lot of questions about this, but my question is, can a wicked person please God? No, he can't. Why can't a wicked man please God? Because they possess not faith. Because Hebrews tells us without faith it is impossible to please God. Now there's a difference between pleasing God and recognizing God. Y'all mull it around. There's a difference between pleasing God and recognizing that God exists. Even the wicked can recognize that God exists. Hey, the devils do what? They believe and do what? Tremble. The devils believe and tremble. They're wicked, aren't they? And yet they believe God. And their testimony is, when Jesus met the wild Gadarene, that's what I call it, the man that was in chains that had a legion of devils, he asked him what his name was, and he said, "Legion, for we are many." And their testimony, the devil's testimony in that man, said, "Why comest thou to trouble us before our time?" They know that a time is coming of trouble for them, and they believe and tremble. Can the wicked believe? Can they believe that God exists? Yes, they can. Cain believed that God existed, and he was wicked. God even talked to that wicked man, like Jesus talked to that legion. Now, there's some other things that, and a lot of time has passed between, and this touches a lot of things, folks, and I will not get finished with this today, so I'm just going to go slow it down a little bit. This touches so many things because Jesus told Cain, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Means it's, you know, what lies in wait, lies in wait at the door. You know, that's what evil people do. They lie in wait, don't they? They wait for an opportunity. And that's what this Jesus, God says, that if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. That means it's just waiting for an opportunity to get in. Do you know how far we've come? Or how far downward we've come from the time that Cain was living to now? Cain, as a wicked man, still recognized that God was God. And so much so that he brought an offering to him. And now, 6,000 or so some years later, where are we at? We've got people that declare that there is no God. We've got people declaring that God is dead. That's a declination, isn't it? That's a falling away. So not only did sin lie at the door, but sin entered in. I mean, by way of practice. Now, Cain was conceived in sin, just like you and me. Because they didn't procreate in the garden. They procreated outside of the garden after the fall. So Cain and Abel were both conceived in sin. They're both sinners because of their fallen nature, or the fallen nature of their parents and their fallen nature too. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. There are some things. Neither Cain, this is number three, two was the Lord talked with Cain, number three. Neither Cain nor his sacrifice was accepted by God. God did not respect him nor his sacrifice. Cain was envious of his brother. Cain got furious because his sacrifice and himself were not accepted by God. That was his response to God. He was furious with God. Number five, Cain was envious of his brother, whom God did respect and whose sacrifice was accepted. Cain, this is number six, Cain was able to do, but not do well. There's a difference between doing something and doing well. It goes to the motivation of the heart. We find later on that the reason why it was not considered doing well was because he had not faith. Abel, by faith, offered his sacrifice, and Cain did not, because he did not possess faith. Abel possessed faith, and by that faith, he offered that sacrifice to God, and it was accepted. Now, number eight, God said that he would still rule over his brother Abel, not lose his birthright naturally, and that his brother would still love and desire him, regardless of the fact that God respected him and not Cain. Number nine, God told Cain that he was cursed because of what he had done. The earth would not yield her fruit unto him. That's what God told him. He said, you're cursed. And this is part of the curse, that whatever you do, wherever you go, the earth is not going to yield. And Cain said, I'm going to be a vagabond all my days. That means I'm just going to wander around and everybody's going to hate me. And everybody's going to try to kill me and slay me. And number 11 of these truths, God put a mark on Cain and protected him. As a wicked man, God protected him naturally. Does that shock you? Most Christians today think that God doesn't have anything to do with the wicked people, and that they're just... God is able to protect even the wicked naturally. Naturally protected him from being slain by his brethren. You think you know God? He'll tell you about himself if we just read. We can deduce from this portion of scriptures and all of them that even the wicked have the ability to recognize that God is their creator, or God is the creator. Believe that God is God, and even do works that look like righteous works and be blessed by God naturally. We can deduce those things. Now, it takes more than belief that God is God and that He's the Creator. Because even the wicked can do that. The Bible bears it out. Many people believe in God, but they must possess faith to be His child. And how do you get faith? It's a fruit of the Spirit, is it not? That comes at the time of regeneration. Everybody else is still under obligation to recognize that God is the Creator. Still under obligation to, because He's worthy of worship. You know, man's going to worship something. Man throughout every age, every person, is going to worship something. I remember I read a book called Lord of the Flies. Y'all ever read that book? It's a great book to understand human depravity in a novel. It's not scripture, but you can see the evidences of it. And do y'all know in that book... Y'all know what they worshipped? There was a hog that they killed. If I'm remembering this right, it's been a long time. There was a hog that they killed. And they impaled his head on a stick. And it didn't take long for the flies to start coming. You know, but see, they were so happy about themselves triumphing over this pig and being able to provide sustenance for themselves. And the flies started coming around. Hence, that's why they called the book Lord of the Flies. And there was one person that rose above in his natural ability, and they started to worship this thing. Man will worship something. And Cain worshipped, brought something to offer to God. That seems strange for us today. But it doesn't seem that strange for me way back then, because who was his mother and father? Adam and Eve. Who talked to God? They were still alive. They told them what life was like in the garden, and that God is the creator. He created me from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into my nostrils the breath of life, and then he caused a deep sleep to come upon me, took out my rib, and made your mother. And he gave us a law, and he said, don't eat of this tree. But we did, and now we find ourselves in this situation. We had it really good then, and God spoke to us, but now he's hidden his face from us, and he doesn't speak to us that way anymore. And he's worthy of our worship. Oh, how far we've come downward. When God is not in all of our thoughts, we don't recognize him as God. We don't recognize him as the Creator. I'm not saying me. I'm talking about the general public of the world. God's not generally recognized as the Creator. This matters because they're able to. But it takes more than just a belief that God is, because the heavens declare that, and anybody can be able to see that. The Bible tells us it is. Doing well is more than doing an action. It's doing the action from a righteous motivation. Righteous actions from righteous motivations or faith are witnesses of the state of being righteous. They do not cause one to be righteous. Do y'all understand that? If I, by faith, offer a sacrifice to God, and God accepts it, me doing the righteous act doesn't make me righteous. It is a witness that I am righteous. Do y'all understand that? In this, it was what Cain offered to God was a witness that he was not righteous. That because God had not respected neither him nor his offering. If he would have been righteous, it would have, and done it from a righteous motivation, it would have been a witness that he was righteous. But that's not the case. That's what happened with Abel. Abel was righteous, and therefore what he offered was accepted by God, because it was a witness that he was righteous. Do y'all understand that? That matters. Because a lot of people do a lot of things for a lot of different reasons. People offer things all the time that look good. You know, this tenor is spoken throughout the whole scriptures about the motivations of the heart. It's what Jesus spoke about on the mountain when he gave out the kingdom of God, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus brought it back to the heart. Wasn't talking about things that people did. Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, didn't he? When he says, though I give my body to be burned, though I sell all I have and give to the poor, yet it profiteth, if I do it without charity, it profiteth me nothing. It may help out the poor people, But if I don't do it from a right motivation, it's not going to profit me at all. Even though the act might look righteous, it's not righteous if it's not done with charity. If I do it for with the motivation of promoting myself, because you know people do that. You know people give a lot of money so that they can promote themselves, not for the sake of the charity. You know, giving to charity is not giving. Did y'all know that? When you give money to charity, the money is not the charity. The money is just the action. That's just the doing part of it. Doing well is giving that money with charity, from a charitable heart, a righteous motivation. And it declares that you're righteous. Is this too deep for y'all? I don't think it is. I think this is pretty simple stuff. But it's very complex in the ways that we understand some of the scriptures and some of the people we find in the scriptures. When Jesus talks to the Pharisees and he says, "Ye are not of my sheep, ye are of your father the devil." Those people were religious people, weren't they? They were religious people. Saul of Tarsus was a religious man before God changed him on the road to Damascus, wasn't he? He himself said, "I thought that I was doing God service until he showed me that I wasn't." That he thought that he was doing God's service. I'm telling you folks, it's more than doing something that makes the difference. It's doing well that makes the difference. Or that manifests that there has been a difference made in your life. It takes more than believing God to be his child. It takes faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in God to make the difference. There are a lot of people in this world that believe that God is. That doesn't necessarily make them a child of God. Are y'all following my mind thinking today? On one hand, you got the wicked. On the other hand, you have the righteous. The sheep are on his right hand. Goats are on his left. He's going to separate them out. It's not for me and you to separate or judge between sheep and goats. Y'all agree with that, don't you? I hope you do. It's not for me to judge that. But I tell you what, when I see someone doing well and doing righteous acts, I can't really look on their heart and tell whether they're doing them from it. But if I see them exhibiting fruit of the Spirit, I can, beyond a shadow of a doubt, tell you that I think they're heaven bound. They're one of God's sheep. But we better be real careful, and really we ought not to do it at all, about how we judge people as being a goat or without God. We don't know them. I can't see their heart. Just because they're not manifesting that they had faith, and the actions that they do aren't necessarily a witness of that faith, doesn't give me the basis to say that they're a child of the devil. Y'all understand that? Y'all, this matters for Christianity. Do you know how many Christians understand this or even thought about it? I dare to say I never hear people talk about this. I never hear people say this, read these things. I never hear people talk about these things. Hebrews 11 and 4. You know, this chapter, talking with a dear friend of mine, Brother Kevin, he made a point about Hebrews chapter 11. You know, it's the faith chapter, isn't it? That's what we call it, the Hall of Faith. He made an observation. He said, you know, Paul, all of those instances of faith, those great men and women of the Bible, those bulwarks of those towers of faith, those great men and women of God that exercised their faith, in every case, it was what they did. It wasn't what they didn't do. You ever thought about it that way? That's what James said, isn't it? Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by mine. You see, faith matters. Exercising faith matters. You can say that you have faith, and you may well. But if you don't act on that faith, there's not a witness that other people can witness that you even have it. Y'all understand that? If you're not exercising faith, you won't have the witness that you have it either. It takes more than doing. You got to do well. I tell you, this is a big subject. Now, Jesus says of the Pharisees in John chapter 10. I'm going to read this and see if you can put these folks in the category. Be careful about how you put them in the category, but this will help us understand a little bit more about these scriptures. Jesus had just finished speaking to them about the parable of, and they didn't understand that, about Him being the door of the sheep and the sheepfold, calling His own sheep by name and leadeth them out and all that. He putteth forth His own sheep and His sheep follow Him. All those about the good shepherd. Now, in verse 19 it says, there was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. You know, Jesus is a divider. Did y'all know that? There's a bunch of people, a bunch of divisions. He's also a bringer together. There was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye Him? Others said, these are not the words of Him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? Did y'all get that? They blame Christ for their doubt. How long do you make me doubt? You know, that's so irritating to me. When people say, why'd you make me do this? When you really get down to it, they're just blaming somebody else for what they did. Why did you make me do this? That's the way they dealt with Christ. How long do you make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Keep that in your mind. Tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. You see, they believed in God. Didn't they? I mean, they were Pharisees. They were religious people. They professed that they believed God. They believed Abraham. They believed Moses. They believed all that stuff. Historically. But you believe not. Jesus said that they didn't believe not. I'm going to take Jesus at His word. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Now that's eternal security if I ever read it. I and my Father are one. There's unity between the Trinity. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Listen to this. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? Wow. Why did Abel, or why did Cain slay Abel? Because his works were righteous and his and Cain's were not. Who did the slaying, the righteous man or the wicked man? The wicked man did it. And he got mad at God, didn't he? Let's read. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. See, they were mad at Jesus. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, he says, I said, ye are gods. You see what Jesus did there? He said, is it not written in your law, the law that you adhere to, I said, you're gods. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, there's another thing that says the scripture cannot be broken or contradict itself. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God. Listen to this. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Did they have the ability to believe that Jesus was doing the work of the Father? The Creator? They had all the oracles of God. They had the God blessed them. They had the government of God. They had the worship of God. They had the laws of God. They had everything they needed to recognize that Jesus was the Son of God, and yet they didn't. But if I do, he says, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that that the Father is in me and I in him. He didn't say believing for eternal life. He says, believe, you believe God, you can see that God is God, naturally. And you've read about me. You, at the very least, you can see the works that I do and believe that I am sent from Him doing those works. Whether you believe and trust in me and have the faith and the ability to do works well. To do well. Even if you have, the ability to recognize me as the Son of God, as much as you know about God in His Word. And yet they did not even do that. They didn't even believe that He was sent from God. It's a big subject, isn't it? But you know, Paul makes a statement in Hebrews. He says, in chapter 6 and verse 9, he's talking about, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain, and cometh off upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing of God," naturally receive blessings of God, "but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." You see, I want you to not only witness to other people. I want you to witness that you're righteous by your faith, so that you can have a witness that you're righteous. But I also want you to do it so that other people can witness that you're righteous. I want you to declare that God is your God. I want you to live like God is your God. I want you to attribute everything, every blessing, every grace that you have been bestowed on to God. Because He's worthy of that kind of praise. Do more than just recognize He's your Creator. Because even the wicked can do that. I pray that you're a great witness of Jesus Christ, living by faith this week. Doors of the church are open for reception of members, should any have that desire to walk in the paths of righteousness. May God be praised. Amen.